This is the All Things Nerd podcast, season 4, episode 1. We're back for a new decade. It's 2020, and we're here. But first, we want to know what the heck we missed out in 2019, and that's what this show's about, is what did we miss while we were on break? So enjoy the show. Here's the intro. Hello, all the geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. This is Mass 5150 welcoming you back to a 2020 version of the All Things Nerd podcast, which is the same as the previous version of All Things Nerd podcast. It's just now that we have a 4 that appears in front of our episodes, because this is the 4th season of the All Things Nerd podcast. Welcome back. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for liking. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for being here live every Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, to talk all things nerd, geek, and pop culture with us. We appreciate you, and we're happy that you're here with us. I am your host, Mess5150, and joining me on this week's cast, we have some of our fine geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados from the Malice Corp brand. And if you want to follow us on anything, head on over to malice-corp.com. If you want to support us, make sure that if you're going to Amazon, you're going there first and going to the Amazon link before you buy something, so that we can get some help to keep the website running. With that, let's talk about who else is here on the show. Like I said, I'm Mess5150. We also have Icy Zoro on the show. How are you, sir?
Fantastic, and in a whole new location. As you notice, there's nobody walking behind me up and down a staircase. Kind of nice.
Just that big bug bag. What is that?
It's just a whole new place.
Nice.
So it's extraordinarily late for me. It's 11 o'clock for me now. I'm on the East Coast.
You're in there with Raider Nick Payne. Which, let's talk about him. Nick, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing as best as I can. I'm an hour ahead of Icy Zoro there. Central time, so it's 10 o'clock here. Really anxious to talk some nerd stuff.
Yeah, we've all been anxious. Also joining us on the cast, we have Masonic Vader back with us. How are you, sir?
I am well. I feel 20 years lighter and 10 pounds lighter, and I'm ready to talk about 100 pounds of nerd stuff. Let's do it.
Also joining us on the cast so that we don't eat up all his battery power. Hopefully he's plugged in and charged so he can be here for the entire cast. We have Aaron back on the cast. How are you, sir?
Are you kidding me? I forgot everything, man. No laptop, no charger, no nothing. Might as well be a Stone Age.
So prepared.
All right, so Aaron will be here for half of the cast.
I'm going to see who lasts longer, because Masonic Vader has done a podcast from a pod on his phone, and his phone heated up so much that it died. So I'm going to see if Aaron can last for the whole cast on his phone.
I was quite scared by that, too.
As we always like to open up this show, we open it up with getting your geek on.
We should maybe introduce Marty as well.
Oh, I forgot.
It's cool. You know, whatever. It's good.
Okay, so maybe I did that subconsciously on purpose, you know, me being the Niners fan and him being the diehard
Green Bay fan. You're right. I'm good with it.
And hoping that the Packers are going to come to my Niners home and beat them at home. But other than that, we welcome a bearded master onto the cast. How are you, bearded?
I am doing well. Thanks for joining me and letting me join you with this intro. It's nice not to be forgotten every time.
That's what I'm here for, buddy.
Let's get into the what we're geeking out on. So this time it is going to be a holiday themed geek out, because we miss the holidays. We take a break at the end of the year to let everybody enjoy family and not the stress of getting onto this cast to talk about things and giving myself extra things to edit. So this Get Your Geek On is about the best nerd geek gift that you got for the year, and if other people should get it as well, or if they should stay far away from it. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that. Me, I haven't opened mine yet. It's something that I've wanted for a long time, but I need two things to go along with it that are packed away somewhere, so I haven't been able to use it. I finally got a PlayStation VR unit. So, yeah, I'm going to jump into the world of VR with my PlayStation. And we got the one that came with five games, including Resident Evil 8. So I am super excited to use it, but my Move controllers from my PlayStation 3 are packed away somewhere, and I need those.
Yeah, I don't know how much. I think you maybe got a month or two left, right? You better get that moving, because once that something else happens, man, you're not going to see that thing for another 10 years.
It requires PlayStation 3 controllers?
The Move controllers. So they transitioned those over to be able to use with the VR unit as well. So the two little the very
phallic.
Yeah, the very
with the blue balls that light up.
Yes, the blue and red balls. Nick, what'd you get, for the holidays? What's a good geek gift you got, if any?
I got a laptop. My wife gifted me because my other laptop went kaput. So I'm really digging it. Is that what I didn't really get any other nerdy gifts.
Is that what you're on right now?
No, I haven't figured out how to set everything up on that yet, but it's,
open I'm box, still figuring out in. Everything.
No, I just haven't figured out how to get everything running on there, and I'm so used to running it on this device, but I'm really digging my new computer. I've already switched all my work stuff on there, and, yeah, I didn't get any other nerdy gifts but that, but I'm loving it.
Nice. Nice. How about you, Icy?
I'm loving it.
I got Witcher 3, which we've talked about that game on the cast before. We talked about that show on the cast before. And I'd never read the books. I never played the games. The Netflix show came out, and I had 9 days in a row off of work. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to check it out. And I liked the show enough, although I liked the show a lot, but I didn't know the world. So I put that game on my gift list, on my wish list on Amazon, and somebody got it for me. And I'm, I don't know, 80 hours in, and I'm only at level 16 because I'm just exploring and just messing with all this stuff. I'm loving this game.
That game will eat your life.
It's such an amazing game.
Well, my second nerd gift that I got myself was a brand new job in tech. That's why I've moved over here to the East Coast. I'm going to be traveling about half of every month. And so I'm going to be packing that PlayStation, and I'm going to be playing that game while I'm in hotels around the world.
Hell yeah. That's the way to do it.
I mean, I'm also going to, like, get out and do stuff. But also, I'm going to play the game.
No.
Yeah, it took me forever to beat that game.
No, The Witcher, man. That Witcher, no. You're not going to see something for a long time.
Was it the Game of the Year edition?
It was 2017. I downloaded it from PlayStation Network. It was on sale for like 70% off. I got the main game and both the DLCs for like $19.
Yeah, just wait till you get to Blood and Wine, man. Talk about it. It's probably the single greatest downloadable content pack expansion that I have ever seen on any game. On any game, on any platform. The story
is encouraging.
The characters are beautiful. The new realm that they take you to is just brilliant. It's so good. So good.
I'm already loving it, so now I'm even more excited.
Everybody's loving it. I actually... another
McDonald's is not a sponsor.
I'm a Sonic. What about you? What'd you get for your geek out for the holidays?
Oh, man. My geek out was Jedi Order. And, God, I am loving that game, man. It is the closest game they've had to the new Star Wars stuff. It comes to Knights of the Old Republic. And the storyline's awesome. It brings in a lot of the other shows as well. Like, it will bring in some Rebel stuff. It'll bring in some Clone Wars stuff. So they've done a good job of factoring everything in. It's like 5 years after Order 66 came out. So... And then, you know, that shirt I showed you. I do have to mention, though, my son got a good geek gift. He got the Godzilla Toho series on DVD. So we've been watching Godzilla for God knows how long, and Godzilla versus King Kong, and Everything. It was awesome.
Toho, it's the originals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. How many discs in that?
There are 5 discs, and like a couple of them have 2 movies on them. One of them have 3. One has 1. They're just all regular format. And the only downside to it, and maybe it's because I've been using a different remote, but one of the discs, which has, it's Mechagodzilla, is only in Japanese with no subtletitles. So
he gets to learn Japanese.
Yeah, no.
Disadvantage of that.
No, can't do it. Can't do it. I mean, you hear, Godzilla, I got that word.
man. What about you, Aaron?
To be honest with you, my best geek gift was watching the new Star Wars movie with my kids.
No spoilers yet.
I'm not talking about a plot or anything like that, but to see them come to the end of a Star Wars story that they knew was just beautiful. Because I've watched the prequels and I've watched the original trilogy with them, and it didn't really sink in the way that the new story did, because they weren't alive for any of that. They didn't grow up with it. So having something new that they had time invested in and seeing it draw to a close with them in the theater sitting next to me, that was beautiful, man.
Lastly, Bearded Master, what about you for geeky gifts?
Everything I got was either Game of Thrones, Batman, Harry Potter. It was like, okay. That's pretty much it all. But what I got, Black Friday, I went out. I got me a new mic. Finally got a mic, actually. But I also got a new Xbox One. My last one has been frying up every 15 seconds it puts on, so I couldn't really play it. So I got a new one. Got Fallen Order. So haven't got a chance to play that yet, but looking forward to putting some hours in on that and seeing what that's about, because like Masonic Vader said, you know, it's got a lot of remnants of Coder, and I love that series, so I'm looking forward to see what that's got.
You will not be disappointed, my friend. Cheers.
On to the main topics of this show, and that's what we missed out on in 2019. And amazingly, they decided when the year was over to start dropping all the most epic trailers for nerd content. Couldn't do it while we were actually recording. They decided to drop them in November and December. And then right at the beginning of this week, another one came out. So this is what we like to call In a World.
In a city, in a town, in a world, they thought they had it all figured out. But there was one thing they didn't plan on.
In
a world.
So we're going to go through some of these movie trailers and give our thoughts and theories and reactions and whatnot. This is a little different because we don't have Super on, because she wasn't able to be on for the main content because she hasn't yet seen Rise of Skywalker. And so because of that, we have everybody else here. Hopefully you guys watch the trailers. And before we get into the trailers, Red Meepaw's best geeky gift got a complete tea gift with an infuser. Gift? Tea gift?
I'm assuming she means T set.
I'm assuming set, because yeah.
Maybe it was just a big box of Earl Grey. Who knows?
Is it a fancy infuser? Is it one of those shaped, like, I have a whole bunch of different type of infusers. I have one that's like looks like a Loch Ness monster, and yeah, I have the Star One as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into these movie trailers. The first one that came out while we were on break was Black Widow.
Yes.
And this was the first look for everybody that wasn't at Comic-Con to see it. If you were at Comic-Con, you saw a much different trailer with some of the same scenes, but something much, much different. It shows that Natasha is going back to, I guess, the Black Widow.
Mother Russia? The Red Room.
Red Room?
Yeah, if you guys need, because I've seen all these trailers, and I've been watching them with my kids for like so many times, just so much. But it shows her going back to the Red Room and reuniting with her old team, which includes Red Guardian and oh God, what's her name?
Is that who David Harbour's character is?
Yeah. Hopper.
He's basically playing the Russian version of Captain America.
And yeah.
Yeah, but between
you got fed.
Between him and Rachel Weiss, and I forget who the other member of the team is, other than Natasha. I can't remember what it is. It's the girl from Midsommar.
Yeah, the blonde girl is her sister. They've confirmed that she's yeah. They are.
Yelena Belova.
They both went through Red Room training together. So she's reuniting with the team to do some sort of operation back in Russia to hopefully clear some of the red out of the Widow's ledger. That's what the basic premise of it all is.
To me, it looks like they're setting up the establishment of Hawkeye and her, because I did see a blink of Hawkeye in there, and this might be the mission that they talked about back in Avengers where he saved her.
Budapest.
Yes, Budapest. Well,
what it's showing in that trailer, what I got out of it was that it's trying to show you, hey, this isn't essentially a prequel, because look, she got a family and a team with the Avengers and da da. This is taking place in the 5-year break, I'm assuming.
It's supposed to take place before the events of Endgame. It's supposed to be, I think, right after not Civil War, but Winter
Soldier. After Infinity War. Oh, really?
No, so I think it's after Winter Soldier's events.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense. If most of her team is still there, then the snap hasn't happened.
Yeah, this is dialing back quite a bit before Endgame and before all that happened. So yeah, it's kind of old, but kind of new still. So it's putting it right in the middle of the events of Phase 3.
What did everybody else take from the trailer? What were your thoughts?
I love David Harbour doing a Russian accent. That was he's got the big belly, he's got the big bushy beard, the messed up teeth. You know, it still fits. Like, I don't know. I love that everybody from Stranger Things is getting a lot of work right now.
I think it's excellent. It looks so fun. I love the throwbacks that they had to the White Widow costume. I want to see if they
delve. Oh yeah, she looked good.
Yeah, I want to see them delve more into the Widow program itself, because that is for those who read the comics, it's an amazing storyline. That branch.
I have to assume if they're casting Rachel Weisz as Milena Vostokov, that they're going to be digging into that program.
Yeah, then that's what I'm looking forward to most. Is you don't really get to understand why Natasha is the way that she is, or was the way that she was before she met up with the Avengers. All you see is her post S.H.I.E.L.D. work, and you don't really get to see how ridiculous it is that she came back from that in the first place.
So one big thing I got, not enough Taskmaster in this trailer.
Oh.
For 2 seconds,
which is fine.
It's fine for people that haven't seen any of the footage yet, but when you saw the footage at Comic-Con and see an actual fight with him and see how he adapts because of his power is being able to take on everybody's fight skills. That is one of the most epic scenes that I saw at
Comic-Con. I didn't even catch him in the trailer.
He sits up, he pulls a bow, and that's it.
All you people in Comic-Con, you're blessed. You'll be able to see that. Other than that, I don't want to see that. I want to go into the movie and see that. I don't want to see anything get spoiled between now and then. Show me some things here. I don't want to see that fight scene. I want to see it in the movie theater.
Okay. So on that grading level, then,
how do you agree?
What everybody think about the trailer? Aaron, what's your grade on the trailer?
Grade B minus. I like the way that they portrayed everything. I like seeing the gang back together scene. David Harbour and his freaking arm cocking freaking thing that Henry Cavill did in freaking Mission Impossible Fallout was amazing. I like it. I can't wait for that movie. I've been waiting for it for freaking since she appeared in freaking Iron Man 2. So come on, give it to me already.
And Jack agrees less is more in a trailer. So
I agree with that. That's why I want to give it a B plus. It showed me a lot of cool, fun stuff that I can look forward to, and it gave me almost no plot, which I love. I don't even want to know what's going to happen in the movie. I just want to see who's in it and if it's going to be cool or not.
Masonic, what's your grade?
I'm also the same, B+. I've said it since day one. This is I've seen her in Marvel films, Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow, great cast, and I like her character every single time. I think she's truly one of the first, and I don't want to say she's the first, but she's one of the first ones actually a dominant female that kicks everyone's ass, that actually has been able to continue that role nonstop and not, you know, not lose any hype out of her. Like, she's still as solid as she was since day one.
She kicks all the ass regionally available. Yeah.
Bearded rating.
I gave it a B. Wasn't anything spectacular, but it was enough to grab my attention and look forward to the movie coming out.
And Nick.
Solid B. I do really, really like the actors that they got to get in on this, especially David Harbour. I'm a big fan of his. So other than that, they didn't reveal too much. I'm not a huge, huge, huge Marvel fan, but solid B.
And I'll give it a B+ because very well done trailer. Keeps my interest peaked. And it does look actually entertaining. Moving on, Wonder Woman 1984, talking about less is more. There wasn't a lot given in this. It was just little clips here and there showing who the characters were. Epic soundtrack, I'm assuming, will end up happening for this.
Yes.
There better be a great soundtrack just based off of the song.
Just the song that they have as the main song for the trailer. I was like, yeah, all right, cool, I'm in.
Yeah, Blue Monday. Yes, the way that they used it. We see that she's using other things. Her tiara is now a boomerang. She takes out cameras with it.
It's always.
Do we call that the Wonderang?
And Cinemacus's trailer is always better when they show less. Yes, we agree with that. Also, The Mandalorian is another villain, Max Lord, in this trailer. So
yes,
and. What I'm assuming, because we got Kristen Wiig, we know she becomes Cheetah. It looks like she goes from the loser to badass type of character.
She goes from geek to chic. Yeah.
Yes. So that was the gist of the trailer. Thought,
which, by the way, is appropriate phrasing for 1984.
Of course, yeah. Steve shows up. We don't know why. If you have theories, go ahead and let me know. But what are your guys' thoughts on the trailer?
Well, I've already got a theory on it, but we can talk about that later.
Well, we're talking about it now.
If you want the theory, we'll go with the theory. All right. So Maxwell Lord, when he is speaking, if you listen to what his diatribe is while he's on the TV, he speaks to whatever you wish it will be true or something like that.
Yeah. And so, then he's got like a little statuette thing that seems like the object of power.
Yep. So that's probably the MacGuffin that's going to be in 1984. And whatever it is, Wonder Woman is obviously going to wish for, or accidentally wish for, Steve Trevor to come back, which is probably going to be how he manifests himself. And then Kristen Wiig's character, I forget what her actual name is, but she's going to transform into Cheetah by wishing for some sort of power that it's going to twist.
It's going to be the power of confidence.
Confidence, or I forget what, because Cheetah gets her powers from one of the goddesses of the pantheon that Themyscira has. So I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but
do they go up with straight Greek theology, or
for
like
the most part, Anna,
Artemis?
They have a lot of lesser gods that are thrown in there too. So I can't remember what goddess Cheetah is bound to, but yeah, I think that's how it's going to get tied in. Maxwell
Power is the opposite of the drawing power of the movie Cats.
Okay. How about the power to move you? To move you on to talking about more. Jack Miles says he gives Wonder Woman trailer 4 tacos and 4 beers. That's very high marks. And Red Meepaw says she just doesn't want them to F WWE up, Wonder Woman up. Bearded, Masonic, Nick, you guys have any thoughts on the Wonder Woman trailer?
I watched it a couple times. I was trying to figure out different things I saw. One, Steve Trevor's like, how did he come back? Obviously, it's part of his story. But that was one of the things where I wish they wouldn't have shown that and let that happen in the movie. Compared this to the other, you know, to Black Widow, I was actually more pumped coming out of Black Widow than I was Wonder Woman. I think part of it for me is I'm going to watch this movie still, but with the fact that DCU just kind of just crumbled and nothing's going on further with that. And just kind of piecing together. Now it's just the story. I think that kind of takes away a little bit of my hype to watch them. Even though I'm going to still watch it, but just not on the high lifts of things. I need to make sure I'm there to watch an opening night kind of thing.
Okay. Sonic?
I liked it. I'm a little apprehensive just because we talked about when they first talked about the casting. I'm still not seeing Kristen Wiig as Cheetah. I'm having a really hard time with that. I get the whole, like,
you still haven't seen her as Cheetah yet, so
I get it, but it's just the casting for it. I just don't see her kicking ass.
If you can pull off comedy really well, which she undisputably can, odds are you're pretty good at drama too.
And she actually does pull drama off pretty well.
It's way harder to be funny than it is to be dramatic. I've got faith in her.
Okay, well, as I continue on my talk here, thank you. I am excited for seeing it.
It's a podcast. It's a debate, man. We talk back and forth.
I am excited for seeing it. I am excited for the soundtrack. I'm just a little nervous because it's the first movie was just phenomenal and way ahead of its time. That it's gonna be a hard one to follow up with.
I'm worried about regression. I get that.
Yeah.
What about you, Nick?
That was the exact same thought I had. I really enjoyed Wonder Woman, and I had that same fear to where I hope it doesn't just become a bust, sophomore slump type movie. That's the only thing. But other than that, I really like what I saw. But it, like it was saying, like Kim was saying, you know, it a lot of times it can come out and be a dud.
Red Meepaw, when we were talking about the gods, said here Athena, Zeus, Demeter, Poseidon, Apollo, and then Senamaku pointed up.
Shemit Hera, not here.
Hera, yeah, no. That's what I was like, here. I don't know that god, but I'm going to say it anyways.
I would think that she would probably be based off one of the goddesses of the hunt, which I'm trying to remember if it was Diana or Artemis in Greek mythology. Whatever.
Red Meepaw says, ugh, typing. Okay. So I'm going to give you my thoughts on the factor going back to the Comic-Con thing again. We got a little clip, not last year, but the year before of Wonder Woman. And I thought it looked cheesy as all heck. It was the mall scene. It was totally 1980s thrown in what was going on. But yeah, I thought it looked really, really cheap and cheesy. This trailer got me more excited for it. So I actually like this compared to what was seen at Comic-Con. So because of that, I give it a solid A- on the trailer. I actually really, really enjoyed this trailer. Aaron, what's your rating?
Definitely A-. I like the additions that they had. I mean, they had the original costume in there. They had the new gold Valkyrie costume. They had the removal of the sword and shield, and she's just fighting with the tiara and the lasso now, like she did in the comics for most of the time. She lassoed freaking lightning at the end. Come on, man. I'm hyped.
Amen. That was a badass little CGI in there.
I see Zora, what was your grade on the
B+. It looks funny too. The whole everything is art, and then he looks at the trash can thing. That cracked me up.
Masonic Vader, grade.
Plus, don't forget they had the invisible jet.
Oh yeah.
Nice. Bearded.
B.
And Nick.
I'm going to go with B-.
Okay. All right. Next trailer that we missed, Ghostbusters Afterlife. So everybody just forgot about the Ghostbusters because they don't know what the traps are. And these characters are tied to the original Ghostbusters. I'm assuming the grandchild? Grandchild of Egon?
Yes.
Yeah.
To see a Spengler?
Yeah, those are the Spengler kids. We should have seen it from the very first second of the trailer with that hair.
Yep.
another Stranger Things alum and his little sister, they both got the frizzy black hair sticking out to the sides. You're like, oh yeah, that's Ivan Reitman's grandchild.
Not only that, but like Finn Harold Wolfram, Ramis. Like first
not Ivan Reitman. Reitman.
I know, yeah, okay, yeah, but
Harold Ramis.
Him too, I know.
He passed away. Pay some respect, man.
Okay, Harold Ramis. Yes.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. No, like Wolfhard, he at first when I first saw him, like, oh, he's definitely gotta be like this the spawn and offspring of generations of Harold Ramis. And then you see, I guess it's his sister who's playing as well, who's even closer to looking like him. And it's like that's basically the mini-me version of Egon. Like it has to be him. But they and it's the keep rumor that it is gonna be, you know, that's what it's going down. But they do show four suits in there, and they only show the name of one of them. So, you know, just it could be any of them. And even though it shows that all four of them are supposed – well, the other three are supposed to be part of this movie, it could still end up being, you know, one of the other ones.
Well, they show the four suits when you get – by the way, Paul Rudd is going to be apparently one of the main characters in this movie. Who doesn't love Paul Rudd? But it's when he says, by the way, who are you guys? He's talking about the house that they inherited from their
parents. What's your name again?
They found a ghost trap in there. And then they slowly pull back the suits to show the Smuggler on the back of the jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that this trailer was the way that it was cut felt more like suspense thriller than it did Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it felt like the original Ghostbusters, which had a bit of a comedy with a suspense. It was. Yeah, it felt like the original, the very first film. That's what it felt like to me. I'd like to know if Sonomaku's still in there and seen the trailer, what his thoughts were on it, because he's a huge Ghostbuster fan.
Right here, I am too. Shoot,
I know. You're on the cast. We're gonna get your thoughts. I'm talking about in the chat room. we also get throwbacks because we get Zool's demon dog foot scene, and you see Slimer. So I'm assuming when you see the ghost coming out of the ground, did they trap all the ghosts underground and just that's where they stored them all?
I think they just buried all the ghost traps under his house.
Maybe they buried the entire trap containment. The containment filter sits them down there. It's because it seems like to me what ended up happening is Ghostbusters after part two kind of were still hanging around New York for a little bit because there was obviously upgrades to the Ghostmobile and everything like that. But then it seems like they got pushed out at the same time, and they had to take all their stuff and put it in the middle of nowhere. Well,
Paul Rudd's character in the trailer says nobody's seen a ghost in the last 30 years. They were just unemployed.
Yeah, so they just went in the middle of it.
Jack brought up a great theory. U.S. government steps in and seizes everything, and what does the U.S. government do with toxic crap? Bury it.
Buries in the desert.
That's actually good theory.
That
would give you your character back that you want so bad to show up in this. He's part of the government. He seizes everything and buries it.
There's a hole in that, though, because this is all buried underneath Spengler's house. So it can't be the government burying it under Spengler's house.
It wasn't his house. It was just an old barn that they inherited where he went to retire.
That Spengler owned and he had.
Yeah, he retired. Yeah.
So it's his house, yeah. No, Masonic's right there. I'm calling it right now. I'm calling it. You can write it down. Rick Moranis is going to have a cameo in this movie.
Oh, God,
it's
going to
be his first time. It's going to be his first time back on screen in like 20-something years. I need Rick Moranis in this
movie. They already said he confirmed he's coming back for this one. He confirmed himself in an interview like 4 months ago.
Okay, well, then I was right.
I need to see that.
Immediately confirmed.
I will look that. I will try to find it because I was surprised because they made a big deal about him making his return to a movie, a live action outside of voiceovers for Disney. This will be his first live action movie he's really been like part of since he went to hiding. Yeah.
And by the way, if you love the original Ghostbuster films, look up the current Quicken Loans adverts because they're Janine from Ghostbusters. And they're fantastic. I absolutely love them. So
Jack. 16 years since 1994 when he was in the Flintstones.
Ultimately, I can't see how this movie can go wrong. I think everything's set up perfect for it. I mean, you've got Reitman's kid who's writing it, so that means you have it in the family in that aspect. You have all the original cast coming back. I mean, when you get Bill Murray to come back, that means there's something there.
And did you catch that part of the voiceover for the trailer was Bill Murray? I loved it.
So I love what's going on in the chat room because I wanted to get Sonomaku's thoughts, but he's doing is trying to prepare
Red Meepaw for
Red, no,
because
no,
Red Meepaw's first... original her original comment was ugh, Ghostbusters.
Yeah, sleep, you know. And he's like, don't you talk bad about Ghostbusters? And then she's like, well, I'll give it a chance. I feel good about it. And then he's like, well, don't feel too good about it because you gotta keep your expectations low. So it's like going back and forth on
just tagging the needle back and forth.
Okay, let's get gratings on the trailer. Aaron, what was your grade on the Ghostbusters trailer?
Well, originally it was a B+, hard B+, but if that little anecdote about Rick Moranis coming back to that just bumped it up to an A, absolutely, because that would make my year seeing him on Pittsburgh.
We're just talking about the trailer. We're not talking about the fact that Rick Moranis might be in there.
No, just hearing. That's how
the only person I've heard that from is Bearded Mastered. Mastered. So
that's how important this is to me. So yeah,
nice. Hey, Icy Zorro.
It's an A+ for me. It brought it. It's exactly what a new Ghostbusters movie should be. It's got the original guys coming back. It's got amazing cast coming in here. It's got the right feel to it. This is a movie that I'm going to see.
Masonic?
A+. For a guy who's actually seen them all in the movie theaters, because most of you guys weren't alive when the first one came out probably, or too young, it's awesome. Dude, what? Come on, man. It was in 84 when it came out. How old
are you? I agree.
I was three. Yeah.
Yeah, it's only two, because I think Nick wasn't. Everybody else was alive that was on this cast. It's not
just
most.
Just not old enough to go see it.
Well, my parents were too cheap to take.
I was born in 85, so.
Yeah. Okay. Bearded, you're great.
So that kid who has to screw the curve up and get above 100%, that's Ghostbusters. This movie is fantastic. It does everything to make you draw in, gives you the feel of the old movies, gives you a feel of a new modern-day movie, and it does everything possible to make you forget that the other one was made.
What other one?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And before I do the wah-wah-wah, I'm going to get Nick's grading on the trailer. Nick?
I'm going to give it an A.
Okay. I also give it an A+. Yeah, we can hear you. I also give it an A+ because the feel, the look, and the sounds just got me total nostalgia, and I'm really, really excited for this. Now, the wah-wah-wah, Jack Malice says, just look it up. Moranis turned down the cameo, according to The Hollywood Reporter.
Or did he?
How long ago was that?
Or did he?
That's what they want you to think.
He said, it doesn't
I mean, they're bringing back Janine. I mean, they got to reference him, but I know I've read a report that he said he's coming back.
Okay, well, then Sigourney Weaver. I'll take her. That's fine.
She's back. She already said that she's
okay.
She's the one that leaked stuff first.
Yeah, the second that the Ecto-1 horn started going off, I was like, I'm done. Take my money. Take my money right here. And the side blaster? My goodness.
Oh, yeah, the gunner seat? Oh, that.
Oh, okay. Last trailer. This is a long cast. Last trailer, Quiet Place 2. Just snuck in on us. Oh. Right last week. We got a flashback. We know we're showing the events that happened. Was that the same kid in the car seat that died in the first one? I don't know.
It was day one at the beginning. Yes, Cillian Murphy.
Jamon Hounsou is now the new Nick Cage because he's in everything.
he's a way better actor. I'm stoked. This movie, I mean, it has exactly the feel of the first one. It's got that quiet suspense. But now you're actually dealing with people that have survived in the same world, and some of them are probably going to try to kill you too. And that's amazing.
Wait, it had a quiet suspense to it? No way.
Wow. I've missed you, Masonic.
You're the only one.
I was sarcastic. Sorry. No,
this will be edited out. I'm telling Aaron. He says my phone is on fire. I said we will tell of people course. Where to follow you to talk more about the topics that we discussed. Yeah. If they wanted to get his thoughts and his insights on them here, that would be on Twitter at Das Newport Kid, DAS Newport, NEWPORTKID.
Don't call him or text him though right now. If something might blow up.
Yeah, it's blow
up. Okay. Let's get a Samsung.
Well, Red Meat Boss says, but is Jamon as cheesy as Cage? No, he's not. But it's just the fact that he's appearing in everything. That's what
appearing in $70,000 budget movies. We'll talk about this.
But he's in everything. We'll
talk about that later.
He's in everything.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he was in Fast and Furious. He was in Guardians of the Galaxy. So, yes, he's doing those movies as well.
I guess you got to get paid somehow, right?
That's still like 1/16th of the movies that Cage is in. We'll talk about it later.
Jack is our definite fact checker as well as our producer. I love having Jack in the chat room because he's also coming back with Vanity Fair also says that Moranis is not expected to appear.
That's it. Going on a damn manhunt now.
I'm dropping it down to an A though.
I'm going to Canada. I'm bringing Moranis from hiding.
That's right. What's that about, eh?
Well, then, I'm just gonna go back to like the Brother Bear movie when he's the voice of the Canadian moose up there. Hey, it's a tree, eh?
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me eh? a beer.
Oh man, we're making the editing later. Just
so. No, that'll stay in. We're talking about Moranis, and I'm thinking we're talking about Strange Brew. Right there. So I thought about the Strange Brew.
So it's Doug and what's the other brother?
Doug and Bob McKenzie. The 12 days of Christmas, and the first day of Christmas is a beer every time. Oh, okay. Any other thoughts on the Quiet Place trailer?
So the first trailer that
I didn't
came
get to
out
because I had to call my wife real quick.
Go ahead, Nick.
So I was a huge fan of Quiet Place, and with this particular trailer that I saw, it made me think that I was going to take a step back.
Really?
I didn't think it was going to be. Yeah, it made me think they're taking a step back as far as like just it's
well because they're going back in time. I don't know. And flashbacking.
I hope I'm wrong because I'm a huge fan of A Quiet Place. No, not flashbacking. Like going back as far as it's not going to be as good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. The trailer looked like they're moving good. Forward. Like, they're walking forward.
I have this feeling. I have this feeling. I hope I'm wrong.
I think it's going to be better. But I think it's going to be one of those films where we're like the sequel. Now what the first one set up in terms of the genre and the storytelling and how it did it. I don't know if you can improve on that, but I think the actual story, the plot, I just, because the people that had the complaints about the first one was that it was just 90 minutes of her giving birth in a, you know, and I don't have that complaint, but I've seen people, this is now going out into the world, seeing more what's going on with other people. I don't know. That's what I got out of the trailer.
I hope I'm wrong. It's just that I have this strange feeling just from watching the trailer. Like, dang it, I think they're going to mess this up.
It's one of those movies where
I hope I'm wrong.
Once again, I think it's kind of like going to be like the Wonder Woman thing where the first movie took everybody by surprise and it was a really good movie. So now you've pretty much let the cat out of the bag. So now how are you going to make the second movie more? You know what I'm saying? That's where I think where you're going to have a little hard time with this second movie is how are you going to improve on something that was so, to be perfectly frank, out of the box? Because most of that movie was quiet. I mean, that's literally what it was all about. And people love the movie. So now you're going to try to do a second movie on that. How are you going to improve on that?
Well, what I've read is that the only reason that John Krasinski and Emily Blunt are doing this again, and John Krasinski's not in it as an actor. He wrote the first one and directed the first one. He's writing and directing the second one as well. And from what I've read, the only reason they decided to do this is because they figured out a way to make it good. They said they weren't going to do a second one.
He literally said he would not make it unless he could do something that was going to be good and make sense.
So I have trust in Jim from The Office.
Okay. I think Krasinski did because there's only 8 episodes of Jack Ryan. He needs to do something.
Or maybe this is just one giant because
he's not already a multi-dozens of millionaire from The Office. Yeah, he's good. He doesn't need to work.
Dozens.
Multi-dozens.
I'm looking at the chat room and Jack giving us more stuff. According to Google,
he lives in New York.
But yes, he was originally from Toronto, Canada, eh? And he asked Vader to just ask J.J. Abrams how to make the second movie more. He can tell you how to do it.
Oh, my God, dude. Okay.
Okay, we're getting to that. That wasn't Abrams. That was Rian Johnson.
We're talking about a movie that's quiet and has this intensity, and now you're going to make a second movie like that. Like, what are you going to make different about it? For God's sake, Blair Witch Project, part two.
Masonic, have you seen Happy Death Day?
Have you
seen the movie Happy Death? Okay, it's a horror movie. It's Groundhog Day meets a slasher flick. It's fantastic. And then they made Happy Death Day 2U, And I thought, how the hell are they going to even do that? You know what they did? They took the same premise and twisted it just a little bit and made it super interesting. I think that's what they're going to do with this. They're going to take A Quiet Place, and it's not going to be a silent movie for the whole 90-plus minutes like it was in the first one. It's going to be that same world, and they're going to introduce other characters. They're going to have people talking to each other like they didn't before. You see people like getting into, you know, big metal tubes and stuff so that they can be safe from the aliens or whatever. But I think they're gonna. I think the only reason they made this movie is because they came up with a satisfactory twist that's going to keep it interesting.
Nice. That's good. And they also left the first one. They left it open for a sequel to come out as well. So I think
that was not John Krasinski. No, Krasinski did not have that in mind. He's actually said that he did not have plans for a sequel. But a year later, after making it, it was popping into his head where he's like, I see a story that can happen with this, and it keeps eating at him. And that's why he decided that I'm going to write this. At first he wasn't going to direct it, but then he took on the director duties as well. He was just going to write it. yeah. All right. Let's get our grades on it. Icy Zorro, what was your grade on the Quiet Place trailer?
B plus. I'm going to see it. I'm definitely going to see it. I'm probably not going to see it within the first week.
And Masonic.
Honestly, C plus.
Okay. Bearded Master.
After the teaser trailer was a C. After this one, it bumped up to a solid B.
Yeah, the teaser trailer was interesting, where it was just 10 seconds of them walking and like, oh, we're at the end of the dirt. This is the farthest we've gone before than we've ever gone before.
So, that was all you got for the teaser. Yeah, I didn't need to see them walking around on white sand paths anymore. I'm good.
What about you, Nick? What was your grade on the trailer?
B minus.
Okay. I enjoyed it thoroughly for the first half of it because it made me feel like Last of Us with the whole like car scene. So I give it a B on it. All right, meat and potatoes of the show. This is the nerd news. This is spoiler territory because it's not actual headlines we're talking about. We're talking about the biggest things that happened while we were on break, and that was Star Wars, and that was Rise of Skywalker and Mandalorian. So What do we want to start with first? What do you want to chit-chat
Praise
about?
Be.
Let's talk about just Sudeikis needing to be captured and hung.
So Mandalorian sounds like the first thing we want to give our thoughts and reactions on?
Sure.
Well, you're the one that brought it up, the chat. All right, what did you guys think of Mandalorian?
All hail Baby Yoda. The new Messiah this age. Hail Baby Yoda. I mean, it's an internet trope, the whole squee thing. I literally said that a couple of times during watching that freaking season. Like, squee! He's so cute.
Yeah, I know.
Outside of the fact it was actually well written in an awesome series, yeah. Squeaky.
Well, okay, no, it's got its issues. The middle episodes feel a little procedural. It's a little A-team, a little episode of the week. Don't get me wrong, I love the heist episode with Bill Burr, but I prefer like the first three episodes and the last two episodes when you get that full story of the Mandalorian and the target, the child, and the rescue, the saving of him. We finally get some major Star Wars backstory in there. We get the Moff in there. Giancarlo Esposito is always an amazing bad guy. And, I mean...
And the Black Saber.
Yeah, we've already said, spoiler alert, the Dark Saber. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right at the end. Oh, I'm all in.
I mean, how could that series go wrong? It was created by the guy who brought us Iron Man, for God's sake. I mean, the one that started it all. To me, I really like it because it does bring a different story to the universe, and they did it in a sense on their own. Like they were able to make it something that kind of stood outside of the boundaries. They didn't need to bring back at least anybody yet so far. We've heard that they might be doing that second series, but the first season, it was able to stand on its own and bring pieces of the universe. You know, talking about bringing Gina Carano's character in as a shock trooper. And as much as you want to give Jason Sudeikis crap for punching the bag, dude, the best part of that scene is when they're sitting on their damn bikes, they pull up their blaster, they can't shoot the damn flower. Come on.
Which is about 15 feet away from them.
No, that entire first 10 minutes outside of the punching baby.
That was so brilliant.
Was my favorite 10 minutes of that entire series. I loved the series. I absolutely loved the first season. But that 10 minutes, missing the shooting, the way they were talking to each other, it was
friggin' bureaucracy. Oh, God.
Yeah, well, the best part about that was like shooting it and missing the can, and then Sudeikis, no, let me show you how it's done. And then it keeps missing. It was like, that's pretty fantastic.
And then they both kind of look at each other and go,
It is what it reminded me of.
I just love how that's like poking fun of like the original trilogy. How like stormtroopers are like always seeming to miss who they're firing at. It's just poking fun at that, and that just made me laugh so hard.
Just brilliant. And also Gina Carano actually being a halfway decent actress
I think she did a very, very well job in this. I've seen her in other stuff where I wasn't she did okay in Deadpool.
Deadpool, all she had to be was a brute.
She did okay in Haywire.
I didn't like her acting in Haywire.
Was she in Fast and Furious? That was Ronda
Rousey. She was in Fast 7, I think it was.
Yeah.
No, Fast 5. She was in Fast 5. No, Fast 6. Sorry.
She did good in Command & Conquer Red Alert. She was awesome in that one. Let me tell you.
She's great in American Gladiators.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, she was. Yeah, she won.
Or Taser or Glazer?
Go back to it, though. Seriously, though, it was awesome that they were able to pull from every style of genre. I mean, they pulled from Rebels, which was awesome. I think John Favreau, however you want to say his name, because I probably butcher it
Favreau.
Anyways, he did such a great job of researching the Star Wars universe and writing something that is now niched its own line. And it's probably going to go about at least 4 or 5 seasons, if not longer.
That's one of my favorite memes that came off of this show. Not just the Baby Yoda stuff, but just about Favreau. Creates the Iron Man movie, starts the MCU. Creates Elf, becomes one of the best Christmas movies of all time. Creates The Mandalorian, revitalizes the Star Wars franchise as the main saga is happening. And that's not even to count Swingers, which is one of the best indie movies of all time. Jon Favreau can do almost no wrong.
You're so money, baby. You're so money.
He's a genius. And you don't even know it.
I mean, he also was a UFC fighter.
Wait. Son of Mocky.
So I can swear it, Matt.
Wait. No.
Are you kidding me?
I love Elf. I love Elf. I'm so sad now. And he said Seth Favreau's super overrated. I'm so sad.
Wow. Okay, so what do you hate about the amazing things that he's done?
Who is saying this? Little Mock, who's saying it?
Yes, the Big Papa Matt.
Wow.
You're hurting me. You are pain. There's so much pain right now.
Can we edit this whole nugget out so that we don't ruin people's impression of Papa Matt? Because he's clearly under the influence of something right now.
I want to have a whole podcast talking about did somebody take over your computer? Son of Maku. Somebody's typing. I have so much more respect.
I think someone's hacked his account.
His best movie was Rudy as the fat friend. Really?
Okay, now it's worth keeping this all in. We can laugh at him for that.
I listen to a podcast by some friends of ours that do another podcast called The Life Crisis. And the guys on the cast, Ron, brought up that in the middle, it felt like A-Team, like going to do different, like we're going to go to different places and solve these missions for people.
It was mission of the week.
It did. And it did feel like that. That's what Mando felt like in the middle. But I think that.
But there's only 8 episodes of this season and there's only 3 episodes that felt like that. So I'm good.
But the middle did bring in Gina because that's where she came in. She came in the middle. And I bet you the one that you got, the one episode you guys are really kind of hanging on is the one where
the goes rookie bounty hunter guy.
Yeah, with Burr. Yeah, I get that.
No, the one with Burr. I like that.
Yeah, the one with Burr.
The one I didn't like was the one with Ming-Na Wen, yeah, where he picks up the rookie bounty hunter guy.
With the storyline, though.
Yeah. I mean, it in a sense, though, it kind of made sense those all fell into place because, you know, you get your exposure to Tatooine with the rookie bounty hunter. And then the other one with Bill Burr, you get the exposure to his past a little bit, which I'm sure is going to probably set up some future episodes. I mean, it gave us a little bit of insight to Mando.
I think it could have set up some future episodes, except he ended up killing everyone.
No, he didn't. He didn't kill him.
He captured real quick.
Well, he had them all killed.
He did not have the bounty hunters killed. He captured them and left them in the cell.
He captured them and left them on the thing, but then he had the rebel thing the thing and destroyed the station that they were on.
They weren't in the station. They were on.
Oh, they were still just in prison. Yeah. Okay. So
the other two guys.
Bobby Ellis.
I really like how it ended. Yeah.
Cool. X-Wings came out for that. Come on. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was pretty rad. That was okay. I had no problem with that. I friggin' love Bill Burr, and seeing him get to act in Star Wars, that was okay for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we just throw in the last golden nugget about the last episode, though? How cool is it the fact that they didn't have enough stormtrooper outfits, so they go hire the local 501st Legion to act for that last
episode? They didn't have enough extras. They didn't have enough outfits.
They did not have enough stormtrooper outfits to finish the last episode, so they go to the local 501st Legion where they're filming and hire them to come and do their thing, man. I mean, how cool would that have been if you're a Star Wars fan and the 501st? Oh, I'm Mandalorian now. Sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we also finally got his name, which I was pretty stoked about.
We actually had the name beforehand, but it just wasn't said until finally the last episode. So
and we got to see his face.
Yes. Nothing living can see. I am not living. Oh my god. Okay, can we talk about that really quick? How great
Taika Waititi
hit that. The IG unit became one of the best characters of this season.
Absolutely.
By that last episode. I mean,
the whole holding the baby, switching around, and yeah, that was sick.
Just the way that droid was designed blew me. The whole rotating everything, that was fantastic.
Vader's fist is what Jack Mellis said. Okay. All right, let's get into the other big Star Wars story. The movie came out, the last part of the trilogy was Rise of Skywalker.
End of the saga.
Thoughts? Did you guys like it?
Yes.
I loved it.
Okay. Let's go with the love. What was your opinion? What'd you love about it, Nick?
I really, really liked how they ended it. I really like how they used the life force from Leia to Rey, and then back to Kylo Ren or Ben. And then Ben gave it back to Rey. I love seeing that sequence. Like, it just the way that finished up was like just perfect to me. To where they're just showing the life force that started with Leia, then the Rey, Ben, and then back to Rey. It came full circle. I just love that. I wasn't expecting a lot of this. Either. I didn't expect how Palpatine was introduced there and how he was kind of a clone that he basically transplanted
his consciousness
to that clone. That was awesome. I love that. Like, because you would have to think, because I was doing some reading.
Yeah, he transferred his consciousness. Jack brings it up. Not sure he was a clone.
Yeah, he transferred his consciousness to the clone.
He had like the dead eye. He had like the white filmed over eyes. Like, I don't think that was a clone.
It was him. It was David.
He was him.
Yeah.
He was
holding on by fingers and everything. Well,
what was the story that he told?
Well, I don't. That's the part that I was reading about, because basically they were saying that I don't know how factual this is, but it was. I was going on a blog and stuff, and I was reading that, you know, how he killed his master in his sleep, because as his master would have known how to transfer his consciousness if he was awake, because he could cheat death. But since he was asleep, he wasn't aware, he wasn't conscious, so he couldn't cheat death. That was Darth Plagueis. But Plagueis, I'm thinking that since he was aware when he was going down, when Vader threw him down that shaft, he was able to transfer his consciousness to this clone body. Like, I really think it was a clone body that he had made to where
I don't know about that, because then he wouldn't have had to.
His hands were all jacked up from all
his entire body was charred.
Yeah, I don't think it was a clone, because then he wouldn't have been pushing to transfer into
Snoke's was absolutely a clone, right? We can agree on that.
Yeah, Snoke's was a clone. Yeah,
we saw some Snoke's
manufactured in the tank and then cloned afterward. Yeah.
And I think I have to correct Nick on this. That life-giving or that force power wasn't from Leia. That was from Palpatine, from Plagueis. He learned how to keep people alive.
Okay, but we saw Rey do that before she ever ran into Plagueis. We saw Rey do that with the big...
Right, he learned how to keep people alive from
Plagueis. No, but she's a Palpatine. That power went through her.
Oh, okay, so like it was a genetic thing? Palpatine.
Huh?
Okay.
So like, yeah, because it was passed on, yeah.
Yeah, because she's his granddaughter. By the way, that tells us that Emperor Palpatine effed somebody.
Yep.
Point. Who's sleeping with Darth Sidious?
Well, I mean, unless they're going back to the midichlorians and Palpatine just looked at somebody and, you know.
Let's not talk about the midichlorians. Let's not ever talk about the midichlorians.
You know what it was? You know what it was? It was after it was on Naboo at the celebration at the end of episode 1.
It was like sand, which is so
you saw how he was looking everywhere. He looked at Anakin and he got a little frisky, and then he saw a girl that was farther down in the parade and he's like, hey. that's
impregnated by the Force.
Okay. Look, no. I liked this movie overall. It was not so predictable as to be just like, oh, I know what every beat's going to be. But it wasn't so out there that it didn't feel outside of what a Star Wars movie is. However, I have problems. I enjoyed it overall. I want to give it a B+. But like, they just happened to fall into the one correct sand pit on the planet where the guy disappeared, really, after going to Interstellar Burning Man?
They were going toward the craft that was right there.
Interstellar.
Did we need Interstellar Burning Man? That felt a little prequels to me.
Yeah, we should have had Interstellar Coachella.
Billy D.
Yeah, Billy. Yeah, you know what? That dude was so sick when they were filming. You could only ever see him in dark light while he was sitting down with a helmet on.
All right, we've got the chat room all going. So, Jack, Snoke was not a clone. He was manufactured. He made a bunch of them. Snoke was him showing that he made life. Son of Maku, Palpatine just looked like GLaDOS from Portal being toted around with a huge robot arm.
I love that. Good.
Jack says, okay, he was the Emperor, the most powerful man in the galaxy, and yeah, I see the ship was 50 meters away on a rock.
It was a solid 300 meters away, and there was other deep sand around there. They just happened to
fall in the right sand pit, yes. Let's focus on the good first before we get our negatives in.
The good? Oh my god. Okay, so the coming around, the references, the full circleness, fighting, you know, good guys and bad guys fighting in the last movie of the trilogy in the Emperor's throne room. I loved that. That was great. The Force connection that had been built up between Rey and Kylo Ren, having like the fact that they extended it to the point where they could actually pass objects back and forth to each other. The part where Kylo Ren pulls out Luke's lightsaber to fight the Knights of Ren, I damn near stood up and clapped. That was fantastic. I don't know. There was a lot of weird stuff. I mean, there was a lot of stuff. It wasn't, you know, canon up until now, but there was stuff that, like I said, not predictable enough to be able to call every element, but I loved it.
Yeah. I get that. Anybody else?
Yeah, no, I saw it twice in 4 days. That's how amazing I thought it was. And wow. I was waiting for this film, knowing that I knew how the originals 9 episodes were supposed to go and end. J.J. Abrams, he freaking worked the miracle on that movie, because, you know, the last Jedi was it was a good movie, but you know, we knew it didn't fit in with what was going on. We knew it was kind of like trying to make its own dent into the whole
genre. And it had some major flaws.
It is what it is. And JJ came around and said, you know what? Here's my fix. And it fixed it. I mean, he really went in, because this was a make or break for him in a sense, because he could have went in and totally effed it up and it would have been bad for JJ. And he knew that, taking that movie, regardless of whatever kind of contracts he has and whatever he's going to do afterwards, if he would have flopped, if he would have totally made a bomb movie, that would have been consequential to him. But he had the confidence to go in and fix it. And he gave a fitting end to Leia's character. That was such a wonderful way to see her go, especially with her timely death. It was great to see him at the end with the Force Ghosts. I'm glad they didn't go bonkers with Force Ghosts. I think the way they were able to talk about passing the Force of the Jedi's living in it and using other characters from, once again, other genres. Ahsoka.
And I honestly love the fact that they used just voiceovers from all the different Jedi's rather than Force Ghosts.
Yeah. I mean, he did a phenomenal job with this. The freaking scene where the entire Rebel fleet or just ships come out. That was probably one of the coolest effing space scenes or space battle scenes I've seen, because that's a lot of effing ships. I mean, you get the Ghosts, you get the Rebel ships, you get everything, but there's so many of them in the background, just like that. You get Wedge comes back, you get Lando coming back.
That was the one time here, don't get me wrong.
Wedge comes back for half a second.
I know. When this movie was over, I was happy walking out of the theater. I enjoyed the film at the end of it. I enjoyed the wrap-up. I was happy with the end result. I was not happy with the beginning of the film to the midpoint of the film. So I'll get into that stuff when we start talking negatives. But Wedge was the one time in the entire movie that I was like, yeah, because I was waiting. I was just waiting to see Wedge. So for that 2 seconds, that half a second, it's worth it.
And you can't freaking lie. You, for a brief second, when C-3PO did that line, yeah, you held your breath. You probably even almost had a tear come down. Come on now. You know you did.
What? Saying goodbye to my oldest friends?
Yeah.
I did in the trailer. And then I don't know, it was red herring.
Yeah, right?
It's still, though, because once again, it's all the original characters coming back. And, you know, are they all going to get slaughtered? Are they all going to make it? What's going to happen? And,
I mean, that was what we were all worried about. And then luckily Chewie didn't die the way he died, because if he did, I would have walked out. I would have got up and walked out, because I know it's not canon now because they got rid of all this stuff, but a freaking moon falls on him to kill him originally. So if they would have killed him that way, I would have got up and walked out of the theater.
I didn't know Thanos was in Star Wars. What the hell?
I want to hear from Bearded and Nick.
Yes.
I love the movie. So here's the
what's going on.
The one thing that I didn't watch a single trailer, teaser, anything about this movie whatsoever. I stayed away from our episodes where we talked about it. I literally went into this movie without a single image of what was going on, and I wanted to just enjoy it for what it was.
Purist, man. I love it.
Man, it was so hard. I cannot tell you how hard it was, but it was, for me, it paid off. It was I thought it was fantastic. I thought that they had enough callbacks to the past that it was good to where it wasn't overdone. I thought some of the things they did with the Force and passing it from Leia to Ben to Rey, that was well told. I enjoyed the movie. I there wasn't really too many negatives for it for me. I just went in there with no expectation, just hoping they didn't completely screw it over and end it shitty as possible. But I was extremely satisfied with the movie from all points.
Han Solo, enough said.
That was a good comeback. Yep, that was fantastic.
That's
the only Raider. Way you redeemed Kylo, and so having Han Solo do that, yeah, I love
that. That was a beautiful scene. That was a heartfelt and touching scene.
I want to bring up some of what Jack said in the chat room. So he says, for those that don't know me, I am a Star Wars fanatical nerd, mega fanboy, and I hated The Last Jedi, and I love this movie, which is majority of mega fans hated Last Jedi. That's just fair. Yeah. He said the passing back of the Fourth was genius. and that it was not canon, but diadems in the Force are, and they all had unusual powers and could do strange things. And he also followed
suit. Okay, so I need some clarification. Is diadems like people that are paired up in the Force?
I believe that's the, yeah.
I'm assuming that's what the meaning is there.
And then two that are one in the Force, yes.
Okay.
So, and then he also did the same thing as you, Bearded, where he stayed away from, went on full blackout mode to go into it. And he got mad at me because I kept saying, did you see the trailer? Did you see the trailer? The trailer's amazing. Did you see it? It's awesome. So, yeah. And I loved how it ended. Loved the second half of the film. Second half of the film, fantastic. Loved, 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 loved it. Outside of the characters.
Oh, well,
which we'll get into now, because what, any complaints that you guys had?
Not tying off loose ends. Like, how the hell did Luke's lightsaber get to Maz Kanata? There are events that they set up in the movie in this final trilogy.
Somebody found
it. Just never paid off.
Once again, that
okay. Well, don't set up a Chekhov's gun and then not fire it.
Didn't she mention something about that in the movie? She said she acquired it somehow and held on.
She literally says that's a story for another time.
Yeah, so we'll end up getting it on Disney
Plus. And then they never tell that story.
Disney
so Plus. Gone, Disney Plus. Fired.
It'll be a Disney Plus story.
Yep. Now, if J.J. Abrams had less.
I'm putting down a bet right now. $100. If 5 years from now that has not been explained, you both owe me $100.
I'm not betting you. I'm just saying that would make sense.
I'm not saying. No, I'm just saying you owe me $100. I'm going to be eaten by big-ass cockroaches. By
Okay. Any other thing that people didn't like?
At the very, very, very end, I don't know if Izzy Zero already said it because my thing it's cutting in and out on my end. But where the heck did she get that lightsaber at the very end? She buried Leia and Luke's. Where did she get that? It's like those things are rare.
No, those were Leia and Luke's.
Yes.
Yeah, she buried those.
No, she buried it at the very end of the movie. At the end,
that was no. She throws Luke's into the burning TIE fighter, and
she builds her own. That's the one he's talking about. Jack is talking about the one that she made herself.
There's a video or a picture I saw that shows the end of her like staff was turned into the hilt of her saber.
Yeah.
So she built her own.
And you know she's the most powerful Jedi of all time because she learned everything.
And also there was about 5 years between Last Jedi and this one, and she'd been training in Jedi powers the whole time. So she built her own.
Yeah, and Jack brings up the last task of a Jedi, which to make yourself last test.
Yeah.
So that's where that came from.
I do love the fact that she buried their sabers. At the house in Tatooine,
Beru, and
Owen, that was fantastic. I love that part.
Okay. Also, by the way, that house should have been completely buried in the desert.
Okay, so issues I had, like I said, first half of the movie bugged the heck out of me because it was rushed. It felt very not making the film rushed, but the way that they were going, like, got a hit point, it felt extremely rushed to get to where they wanted to be. That was brought up.
They had to hit all the points to be the last thing in the trilogy.
But that was something brought up by the other podcast we talked about. Yeah. They brought up, hey, just split it into two movies. People aren't going to care. Just give it your Harry Potter treatment of the
part one. The Rise of Skywalker part one and part two.
Yeah. Nobody would have been mad. So
9A, episode 9B.
Yes. And then it wouldn't have felt rushed. It would have gone. I felt like they really were rushing that first half of it to get to where they wanted to be.
Twofold on that. It's because A, they had to fit everything that JJ wanted to put in Last Jedi, and B, they were only going to have JJ for this last movie. So they had to do it. They weren't going to trust anybody else to try to finish it off. He doesn't have the time. He's got so much stuff after him.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Apparently, there's a JJ cut. There's apparently a 3-hour long cut that Disney cut down, and now people want that just like the Snyder cut, which we don't know if it's true or not, but that's going all over the place.
Wasn't this movie 3 hours already?
No, it's 2.5.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, it was 3 hours because you had 45 minutes of trailers, though. I noticed that.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll remember like two Jack or three. That was not much.
Hated her taking the Skywalker name. I completely understand that one as well. He said that when they asked who she, what her name should have been, just Rey. I'm just Rey. Just Rey.
I kind of liked it. That was the, you know.
I understand the emotional connection thing they wanted to do, but she really at that point was her own whole person, and she should just have been just Rey. Yeah, I get that. Okay. Other issue. I like how they used Leia. I really, really do. And I understand it was a hard way of being able to do it and going back and using old footage, but it really gave me the senile Leia approach to it, because it didn't, her conversation felt like it was just like randomized into the
CGI was not that great, in my opinion.
I didn't mind the CGI, but when
I'm sorry, like, I could see her face floating. It was not great.
Droids act like just the random lines that just like floated into the conversation. I was like, she, oh no, Leia's gone senile. That was how I felt. So, and then the new characters, because Disney has to sell figures. Baba Freak, I loved, but the girlfriend played by Carrie Russell that was from Daft Punk didn't need that character.
Yeah, that was the one with the horses, right?
Oh no, no, that was the
wrong.
Was the helmet? The helmet chick on the bounty hunter planet or whatever.
Oh, she sort of Daft Punk.
Sorry.
I was waiting.
They pretty much only put her in there to confirm to people that, hey, no, that guy's, he's not going to hook up with Finn.
He's not hooking up with Finn, yeah. And then, yes, the African-American girl that everybody thought was going to be Lando's daughter. And
it was a half-hearted romance plot.
It was characters we didn't need to try and fulfill.
To the do plot. Nothing. Yeah. It was like,
Rose did nothing. Like she just
said. Oh, okay. Well, no, they actually have an explanation for that. They had a ton of stuff that they had written for Rose because they felt like they should have a main character that hung back with Leia when the rest of them went off.
Yeah.
And they just, they couldn't get the animation right. And so most of that stuff just got dropped on the cutting room floor. They made a lot of scenes with the character. It just didn't cut.
Jackson, okay, I completely missed the point for her. She was another stormtrooper. The African American girl. Yes, I know. But it was not. It didn't flesh out the story. It didn't do anything for the story. So, I don't know.
Filler.
And then lastly, I know.
Wait, hold on. How do you mean it didn't do anything for the story? That's basically how they were able to get there to take out the last.
Well, gunner. Because you need to have a new mount type.
Finn did it though, basically. Not her. I mean,
but Finn wouldn't have been able to do that without meeting this girl.
They would have had the speeders that would have been locked down, but because they weren't using speeders and they used horses, they were able to advance.
And then Jack brings up, it gave Finn's story some closure. How about the big thing that they set up that they never closed until after the movie when they had to tell it in an interview because they didn't actually say what Finn had to say to Rey because he never says it.
It's because my entire feeling that whole movie was he keeps on trying to tell her that he loves her. Nope, that's not what it was.
Okay, I'll get with you, Jack. He said some. It gave Finn some closure. Okay. I get it. So
yeah, no, I'm not trying to figure out the movie.
I liked it. I enjoyed the film. I just that first half, it took a little bit for me to get into it. So
I think Disney decided to avoid that whole plot at the end as their way of trying to like, all right, let's not trolley mash the Finn and Poe.
No, that's not even it. It's not that he was trying to tell her he loves her. It's that he was trying to tell her he's force sensitive.
That was what he's trying to tell her. They told in an interview. Because they asked, what was it? You never said it in the movie. Oh, he was force sensitive. That was what he was trying to tell her.
That's what
JJ said.
But the movie makes it feel like he's trying to tell her he loves her. And that's not what
kind of.
That's true.
No. I like the movie. I don't want to beat it up. I like the movie. I just
had the thing that, you know what the thing that kills me most about the movie, though, and it doesn't even have to deal with the movie, it's people trying to nitpick all these little, like we're talking about little things here. There's freaking pages that list 20 or 30 different things that are wrong. Go watch the freaking movie. Go enjoy it. If you don't
I'm not talking about little things. I'm talking about full characters that I felt didn't need to be in there.
Yeah, and I'm talking about major plot points.
I don't want to talk about little things. Yeah.
I'm just talking about those crazy ass Star Wars fans that take
it. If I wanted to talk about little things, I would talk about how much it felt like there was too much fan service.
Oh my God, there you were setting up such a joke there. I was like, I'm gonna hold back.
Hey, to kind of go back on that,
I didn't hate it.
Like he never revealed what he meant to say. They kind of tell you without words that he is force sensitive at the end.
Oh, I get it.
He's like,
I,
how do you know what ship it's in?
It's I know
that one. I just have a feeling.
I was getting the feeling about that. I knew that and stuff. It's he said, I'm going to tell you later. And they could have given us that scene when they're all partying after taking down Palpatine again.
There was like four different scenes in this movie where he was like, I got to tell you something. Wait, I'm not going to tell you something.
But now here's the thing. How do we know they're not going to do it? Because from what I've seen, and maybe if I heard this wrong, they plan on doing stuff with Rey.
He said he does not want to do anything else Star Wars. He's done. John Boyega's done.
No, he's got his career now.
He said he will not come to Disney Plus to do it. Maybe movies, but he's done. He's not going to
That's what he says now that they show him that paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I will not play this character again for less than $5 million.
Then that might happen. So,
it might. Which
at that point, I don't know if they need Finn because he's not the main. Rey was the main focus. Let's move on to the last segment, and that's somebody's got to talk about it.
We need to talk.
You talking to me?
Oh my God! Who told you?
Have you told anyone else about this?
Who'd you talking about?
Look who's talking.
Get through this really quick.
Oh God, we're still doing this? Okay.
Yes, absolutely. We're doing this one. Somebody's got to talk about is the weird stories, the odd stories, the ones that we got to talk about. And because it's not a season four premiere of All Things Nerd, unless we talk about Nick Cage.
Nick Cage!
We got to talk about Nick Cage. Nick Cage, while we were on break, he came out, or Hollywood Reporter came out with that he is working on a film called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. And
which, just in itself...
Face Off too.
No. Well, here's the thing. It is Nick Cage playing, drum roll.
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage, yes.
Yes.
He is playing himself.
The only redeeming thing about the script is that it was
the most narcissistic film of all time.
The only redeeming thing about the script is that it wasn't written by Nick Cage.
No. What's redeeming is what you hear about this. And this script was being bid on. It went through multiple people trying to get the script and get the film project, ended up with Lionsgate. So this will be the first big studio film that he's done since Ghost Rider.
Which was in, by the way, 2003?
Four. 2004.
Four?
Yeah.
Let me give you the concept of the story. So Nick Cage's character, who is Nick Cage, is desperate to get a role in a new
He's Quentin on a podcast where they can't stop talking about Nick Cage.
He's desperate to get a role in a new Quentin Tarantino movie while also dealing with a strained relationship with his teenage daughter. He also occasionally talks to an egotistical 1990s version of himself who rides him for making too many crappy movies and for not being a star anymore. He's also under a mountain of debt and finds himself forced to make an appearance at birthday parties of a Mexican billionaire who happens to be a fan of the actor's work and secretly hopes to show him a script on which he's been working. While he bonds with the man, Cage is informed by the CIA that the billionaire is actually a drug cartel kingpin who has kidnapped the daughter of a Mexican presidential nominee, and Cage is subsequently recruited by the U.S. government to get intelligence. The situation spirals even more dramatically when the billionaire brings over Cage's daughter and his ex-wife for reconciliation. And when their lives are on the line, Cage takes on the role of a lifetime.
You know what? Here's the thing. First of all, I thought it was an A&E documentary at first. But then second of all, that was so horrible that freaking IC took his headphone off and I think he ran to the bathroom. And you can see the door open right now with the light open. He's probably throwing up in the toilet right now. I can't believe it.
This sounds
that's an A&E documentary.
This sounds so epic, though. Come on, Bearded. I need something from you.
When you first start talking about Nick Cage making a Nick Cage movie, I'm like, great, this is going to be one just horrendous pile of crap that he's putting together. But then I read the article. I read that it was actually pitched to him and already made. And then what is going on with what's happening, I'm like, this is absolutely fantastic. This is amazing. We're going to get a Nick Cage at the highest level that we've ever seen him. And this is going to be the movie that, and this is where I played out, we're going to see a revitalization of Nick Cage to where he's going to be the next big thing. And if it ends up leading to, like, in 3 years, we have a Nick Cage versus Keanu Reeves movie, I'm so damn happy, and I want that to happen.
The two most relevant people in pop culture ever just battling it out. I need that directed by John Woo, honestly.
Jack says, who does Nick Cage think he is? Bruce Campbell? And Son of Maku says, Bruce Campbell wishes he had an Oscar like Cage.
Oh, God. He won an Oscar, didn't he? Okay, yeah. So reading that article, this script is going to reference things like Leaving Las Vegas and Face Off. I don't know what you guys talked about because we haven't done a 2-hour podcast in a while. I had to go pee.
We're not 2 hours yet. We're getting close.
Put the bunny in the box.
if they throw some Con Air in there, I will 100% in. But did you see the picture of what Nick Cage? Did you see the pictures of Nick Cage on the top of that article? In one of them, he looks like a friggin' hobo.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the scraggly, unkempt beard. He's wearing a hat that he picked up off a street somewhere because that's what Nick Cage is now.
Dude, he's had some straight to TV.
Had a studio release since 2003. Well, okay, it's 2020 now.
2004, first of all.
2004. Okay, I'm sorry. 16 years instead of
this is Lionsgate picking it up. The epic.
Oh, so that's still not a major studio then. Lionsgate is low end.
No, Lionsgate.
That's the low end major though.
They're still considered a major.
Yeah, but they're the low end major.
Lionsgate's going to give you $10 million to make a movie.
Lionsgate gets more.
I'll take it now.
So,
I love the meta-ness of it. It's
Lionsgate is part of WB, so give it. It's large studio.
John Malkovich walks by. Con Air Part Two.
Well, you're gonna need Colm Meaney and John Cusack too.
And here's the thing: you've got Tom Gormican and Kevin Eaton are writing and directing. Well, Tom Gormican's directing, but they're writing and directing. Tom Gormican, not a lot of credits. Ghosted was what he wrote for, and I didn't really watch Ghosted, but
I feel like there was a handful of other things in there for him that I recognized.
Not well, Kevin Eaton. Yes, Kevin Eaton has had writing credits on Ghosted, Workaholics, Scrubs, Reaper, Ed.
I don't recognize the main actor's name though. He hasn't done anything.
Those are some of my favorite dramedies.
I think that this is going to be a fantastic. And then you take the producer, Kevin Turan. Done a lot of stuff, but nothing like that stood out. But he just got not announced that he's also producing the Green Lantern Corps film. So you got some good names.
Just to throw something out there real quick, just so his last big movie was in 2011. It wasn't 2003, it was 2011. Ghost Rider 2 came out in 2011. Also, he was in Spider-Verse. He came out 2 years ago.
Well, no, they're talking live action.
I'm just saying. Ghost Rider came out in 2011.
What about Kick-Ass?
Kick-Ass was like 2005, 2006.
Kick-Ass is the last thing that I truly enjoyed him in. No,
Was it that early? No. Oh, 2010.
Kick-Ass was that long ago.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, 2010 and 2011 were pretty big years for him. Kick-Ass, and make shit on the movie all you want, Sorcerer's Apprentice and Drive Angry both came out in 2011.
Nobody's seen Sorcerer's Apprentice other than you.
Hey, so. I've seen it.
I actually enjoyed Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Son of Maku brings up a good one. Mandy. I heard Mandy was great. I haven't seen it.
I will say I did not enjoy
it. Mandy and Mom and Dad are not big studio. That's what they're talking about. This is his first. This will literally be, if everything goes through, this will be a payday like he got for Con Air and National Treasure. That's what they're saying in terms of what he's getting paid for this. So. It's big money to do this film. So, I don't know.
This is going to get him out of that dinosaur skull debt.
Yeah. I think that's why I wanted to talk about it because this was one where it was like, holy crap, this is actually so meta and it's Nick Cage that we have to bring this up.
I think it has a lot of potential. Like the fact that this script wasn't even supposed to be a movie, it was supposed to be somebody's like, test script that they were going to sell around to see if they could even write. And then somebody was like, hey, can we actually make this? Do you think we I mean, we got $5,000. Do you think we could get Nick Cage in it? And yeah, you could. So he's going to play himself in a movie about himself. And it's the most Nick Cage thing I've ever heard. And I'm 100% in. As much as I facepalm whenever we bring up Nick Cage, this is going to be fantastic.
I can't do it, man.
This story came out like the week after we went on break, and I held the tab on this story on my phone until this cast. Because I'm like,
I can't believe you didn't even text us about it before we were prepping for this cast. That's I'm mad at you.
Well, the good thing is we've already gotten to half of last season's Nick Cage references all in the last 20 minutes.
Oh, we got 130.
We're doing a Nick Cage counter.
It's coming. It's coming out soon. Once I get the last few bestos. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about where to follow us, where to check out other stuff by us, and where you can chit-chat with us. We have best ofs from season 3. We also have our excerpts and cutouts coming out, goofs, all that type of stuff, on our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com, and the Malice Corp channel is what you're going to be looking for. Also, you can listen to this podcast on your drive, commute, whatever you, whenever you want to listen to it, at Stitcher, on Spotify, on podcast.com, on Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, we're probably there. So please make sure you're listening, make sure that you're subscribing, and drop reviews. Reviews help us out. We greatly appreciate your 5-star reviews, and thank you. Thank you so much. And the biggest thing that we can ask is tell one friend about us and go, hey, you guys should check out this cast. If you think they'll like it, please tell them about it.
And by the way, if you guys have not rewatched, if you haven't watched the best of season 3, Mest has edited together some of the best stuff that we ever said over a whole 10 months of casting from last year. They are funny. They are pithy. They talk about relevant stuff. The audio is different than the video. Watch the video on youtube.com. Listen to the audio on any of your podcatchers. These things are funny, and Mess did a lot of work to make them really good.
Let's get where we can talk, where we can follow everybody. Icy, where can people follow you outside of this cast?
At Icy Zorro on Instagram, Twitter, and PlayStation Network.
And back there, that door where the bathroom is.
Masonic, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on PlayStation Network at MasonicVader71 and on Twitter at MasonicVader. And yeah, that's it.
And that phone number you can call from truck shop bathrooms.
Bearded Master, where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ebeardedmaster, as well as on Twitter at boot to the face. That's the number 2, boot to the face, and on Instagram at boot to the face _.
I see he's a dick.
Jack is like, wow, the hate is strong in these two. Nick, where can people follow you?
Raider0314 on Twitter and PlayStation Network.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Mest_MaliceCorp or on Instagram at Mest5150. Come join us at facebook.com/groups/allthingsnerdpodcast. Drop memes, drop GIFs. Let's just have fun and interesting things to talk about over there. Yeah, that's it for the show. We'll be back with our normal setup next week where we just dive into the nerd news.
For maybe only an hour at a time.
Only an hour. And we'll see you guys next Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You keep nerding on. And thank you again.
Peace.
Carry on.